Right, well, we are stopping from looking at roads and at our feet and at building and turning our heads to the stars for the remainder of this hour. Science and Tech today is all about looking into what's going on in the world of space exploration and mankind's dreams of space travel and exploration. On the line with me is Dr. Daniel Kanema, who is the Science Engagement Astronomer at the South African Astronomical Observatory. We've asked him to join us today to talk about some of the latest news from the world of space travel and exploration, and particularly what our own export Elon Musk is up to in this space, because he recently gave the public a bit of a glimpse into the factory in Texas where his SpaceX Starship is being designed. And Daniel, it's lovely to have you on the show this afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us. It sounds like the stuff of science fiction until a factory door rolls open and there's an actual assembly line with people working on it. It all suddenly feels a lot more real, doesn't it?
It sure does, and they're popping up these factories very, very quickly too. So they're building these rockets in a matter of weeks now. So it really is a conveyor belt of rockets coming out.
So what are those rockets intended to do? I assume they're not rockets full of explosives to aim at foreign countries. Daniel, talk to us what the vision is.
Yeah, so the Starship rockets are really, really quite fun. They're very large rockets, some of the biggest ever built, with a capacity of carrying about 100 tons of cargo or people. So it's a two-stage rocket, a very, very big first stage, which has 37 engines on it, and then another 50-meter payload stage where you can have passengers and other things you want to take up into space. So it's in these two stages, and the top stage is completely reusable. The first stage is also reusable, much like you may have seen with the Falcon Heavy or the other Falcon rockets from SpaceX. They land the first stage back down on Earth, which is pretty amazing to watch. The top stage will be more similar to a space shuttle. As everyone knows, the space shuttles, this is similar to a space shuttle. It's more of a rocket, but it is something that will go up into space, deliver its cargo, visit the space station or similar, and then be able to return to Earth in one piece to be reused.
Obviously, I mean, the concept of reusable space stuff is a very welcome one, because I know there's a lot of concern around the world in general around our culture of throwaway consumption, and there's a lot of concern about space junk floating up there that's been left by decades of space exploration. So anything reusable is to be welcomed. But Daniel, obviously that also means that costs come down and this becomes a sustainable reusable model going forward. You talk about delivering its cargo. What sort of cargo is intended for these rockets?
So initially nothing. I mean, some of the early ones that Elon Musk has sent up, you know, he sent up a Tesla vehicle in one of his early rocket launches just to show what he could do.
Sure.
And so at the moment just testing, but ultimately these can send up anything up to 100 tons. So that's a lot of cargo. You know, you can resupply the entire International Space Station for some time. You can take people and all of the things they need. This rocket in particular is being designed for space travel. So this is what SpaceX would like to send to the moon, to Mars. This is that vehicle. So something that can travel through space, deliver a large cargo wherever it's needed. And if you want to set up a base on the moon, then getting 100 tons there in one ship is really quite wonderful.
So it's fascinating to me. If I'm understanding correctly, we're close to having the vehicle that can take people to these places. But of course, we can't leave them there yet, Daniel, because there's nothing there to support life in these spaces. What does this mean in terms of the long-term vision of being able to set up human settlements in other parts of the galaxy?
Yeah, so I don't know about the other parts of the galaxy, but let's just aim at the solar system for now. but yeah, certainly setting up a base on Moon is the primary aim right now, and that is going to just require cargo for now. So we're going to have to send actual habitable sort of, you know, habitation modules, resources, water, all of these things long before we send people. So we need to essentially have a set-up base before a human travels there. It's not easy. It's probably, I mean, if you had asked me 5 years ago, I would have said it was 30 years away. But the way Elon Musk is operating, the speed at which he's operating, it wouldn't surprise me if we see something before the end of this decade.
Really?
No, not at all. Like, it's, I mean, he's, the speed of the space exploration that he's initiated is really mind-blowing. And, I mean, the Starship that we're talking about now, the first tests happened last year. They're talking about sending it up into space next month. It's orbital flights sometime later this year. They really are moving very, very rapidly and building a lot of these things very quickly.
It is a staggering pace, as you say, and the pace at which it's accelerating is quite unbelievable. The Starship is not the only thing that he's busy with. The Starlink is something else we've been reading headlines about. Can you explain to us what the SpaceX Starlink is all about?
Yeah, so Starlink is a different project entirely, and what Starlink aims to provide is internet to the entire globe. So it's setting up a constellation of satellites which will orbit the Earth, which are providing very high-speed internet wherever you are. So it doesn't matter if you're in the middle of the ocean or in the middle of some rural place, you can get internet. So high-speed, fiber-like internet everywhere in the world. This is the aim, and they're moving very, very rapidly towards it. And in order to do this, they're going to need to launch about 12,000 of these satellites.
My goodness.
Yes, so that's the problem right now.
I mean, obviously, 12,000 takes time to build, takes money to build. We know he's got very, very deep pockets indeed. But what about, I think a lot of people would think 12,000 new satellites going into space, is there room for them up there? What is the impact on other entities who already have extensive satellite networks up there? Are they going to interfere with those? Is there going to be a fight over space in space? Is that literally the next battle we'll see fought?
It's definitely one of the major concerns, yes. So Elon Musk has got approval to send 1,600 of these things up, so 1,600, and he's applying for the further license to send the rest of them up. But obviously, if he's providing high-speed internet to the world, there is going to be competition for other people to do the same, provide the same service. And therefore, they're going to need to send another 12,000 themselves to have this constellation of constant internet connectivity. So there is going to be competition for space. At the moment, we have about 4,500 satellites in space. So this is going to, more than double that just for one project.
Sure.
There is a major concern about the number of satellites for many reasons. One is space junk. That's something that Starlink have said that they are taking very seriously, and they've promised that all of their satellites, as soon as they become defunct, will have deorbited. So they will have crashed back into the atmosphere and burnt up within a year. So that's positive, but it's still going to be a very, very busy place. And one of the really serious concerns is if one of these satellites collides with another satellite. Because, it's going to get busy up there. And if two satellites collide, it's a problem of unimaginable consequences, to be honest. It's really quite a bad thing. You can see a situation where there's a cascade effect, so a knock-on effect of satellites hitting satellites.
Because if they're all in the same orbit, one assumes then the debris from the first crash goes on to strike the next one and the next and the next.
Precisely. It's something called the Kessler syndrome. And if you've watched the film Gravity with Sandra Bullock, then that is the sort of premise that film starts on.
Okay.
So it stops us being able to access space because the world is surrounded by a basically debris field.
Sure. As you say, it sounds like the stuff of a science fiction movie, but it's being built in a warehouse in Texas as we speak. Daniel, just a quick follow-up question. You said Elon Musk has obtained approval for 1,600 and is applying for licenses for more. Who issues the licenses? Does he apply to NASA, or is there some global body that one has to get permission from?
Yeah, so there is a federal sort of licensing body at the moment, but it's not... it's not well managed enough at the moment. So that's something that we need to really do better at, trying to have policies which are quite strict and try and look after space as best we can. There is something in place already. You know, he does have to apply, but at the moment, money talks in this case and in many cases, but also it's hard to include all of the necessary stakeholders. Like, who are we considering? From a practical level, it's like, well, is there space in space? Yes, there is. Okay, you can go. But one of the major concerns with the Starlink, especially for astronomers like myself, is the effect on us. So if you have 12,000 of these things in space, how does that affect us trying to look at the stars? And the answer is quite badly.
Quite a few blots on your telescope vision, I would imagine. Yeah.
Yes, and that's not really getting considered enough at the moment.
Dr. Daniel Kanemar, thank you for some very interesting insights there into the future of space development, space exploration. And Daniel there speaking to us, a science engagement astronomer at the South African Astronomical Observatory, talking about the Starship and Starlink projects, which SpaceX is running ahead with at quite staggering speed. Appreciate your update, Daniel. Good to have you on the show this afternoon.